Baruch Hava, going to another week of Parsha Insights. Really wonderful. The Chazdei Agadol to have everybody here, as we said a moment ago. Sold out in the Heichal, live and in person over here in our Heichal. To the many who are listening now, live over the phone, and to the countless who will hear it when it's sent out, Ashreichem. Please get chizuk from the Divrei Torah and let it enhance your Shabbos Kodesh by repeating the Torah and speaking about it, bringing about more Kedusha Shabbos. The Shir is Seila Zecher Nishmas, Ula Ile Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serena, and Leon Ben Rachel. You walked in, as I said, the names of your dear parents, Zecharinim Levracha, may their Neshama Tahiris have a Lichtike, Lichtike Gan Eden. If you take a look, let's go. One of the most famous psukim in certainly the Parsha, I would even say one of the most famous psukim in the Torah. Take a look. Beginning of Parsha's Truma. Again, as I said a moment ago, but I feel I'd like to repeat it. And I'm not only talking to those who are in the Heichal and listening and those who will. I'm truly, truly honored that we're able to come together to have the Parsha Insights. As my father, Zatzal, often said, Mi yedea mi machazik esmi. You never really know who is giving whom the chizuk. So I thank you, may umke delibi. The pasuk says in the beginning of the Parsha, as I said a moment ago, one of the most famous psukim, V'osu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soichem, Hashem says, make a sanctuary for me, and this way I could dwell among them. V'osu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soichem. In fact, this is very much a concept when a chosn and kala are embarking on the Ezras Hashem, a life together, we give them the bracha that their home should be a mikdash ma'at, a microcosm of the mikdash, of the Beis HaMikdash. And that comes with the responsibility, my dear friends, v'shachanti b'soichem. Hashem says, I want to feel comfortable dwelling in your mishkan, dwelling in your mikdash ma'at. And so when we wish a chosn and kala that they should be zaycha to build a bayis gadol v'nevim and b'yisrael l'shemu tiferes, we're really referring to this fact as well, that it should be a mishkan and a mikdash that Hashem says, v'shachanti b'soichem. In fact, it behooves all of us really to ask ourselves a question often. Would Hashem feel, or does Hashem feel comfortable entering my home? Besides the fact that there is an enormous difference between a house and a home. A house could be large, I don't know, how many square feet? Small. A home and a house have nothing to do with each other. A home is a place. You should turn your house into a home. A home is a place of Torah, of Chesed, of Tzedakah, of Orchim, of Aniyim. A home is a place that really is vibrating and pulsing with the love of Yiddishkeit, the love of mitzvahs, and the love of Torah. I often say, either when I travel or when I'm privileged to be in someone's house, or home, I should say, don't be impressed by someone's house. Be impressed by their home. A house? Don't be impressed by that. A home, a place that is steeped in Torah values, a home of shalom and unity, a home where Hashem says, b'shachanti b'soichem, I feel comfortable, that's a home. And so it behooves us, as I said a moment ago, to ask ourselves from time to time, would the Ribbono Shel Olam be comfortable in my home vis-a-vis the way spouses interact and react with each other, the things that people read or look at, the way people speak? Would the Ribbono Shel Olam be comfortable entering our home? The pasuk says, "V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soichem." There is a medrash that tells us what I think is a very well-known mashal. A king had an only daughter, and there was a young man who came from a foreign land and wanted to marry the princess, and the older king was in a quandary. On one hand, he naturally wanted to see his daughter happily married, and so he approved of the shidduch, but it was so difficult to depart and to see his beloved only child leave home. So he says to his new son-in-law, I want you to do me a favor. Wherever the two of you, you and my daughter, settle and live, designate a bedroom for me so that I won't have to separate from my daughter, who I'll miss so much. But this way I'll know there's always a bedroom. Whatever city, country, or town you're living in, there will be a bedroom designated for me. The Medrash says, the Ribbono Shel Olam says the same thing about the Torah. Ki lekach toiv nasati lachem, I gave you, so to speak, my daughter. I gave you my Torah, but I can't bear to separate from her. I'm obviously letting you take her in the sense that we're married to the Torah, but do me one favor, as the Medrash says, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, va'osu li migdash v'sachanti b'soicham, set aside a room in your home. Set aside a place for me, v'sachanti b'soicham, so wherever you are, I can be there to stay, and that's the Mishkan. I hope you appreciate the profundity of how the Medrash just read those words. It's a totally new Deheret understanding in the words, v'osu li migdash, Hashem says, make for me a migdash, create for me, so to speak, a bedroom. Wherever you live, so that v'shachanti b'soichem, I know that I could always visit my daughter, my Torah, who it's so hard for me to depart from. In an extraordinary medrash, I saw in your sefer Avnei Kodesh and Chelek Beis, in an extraordinary pshat, if you think about it, and I wondered why, only when I saw it in print did I realize how obvious it seems to me, and I'm really wondering in the Heichel, I apologize that I'm not stopping to ask the question, but I wonder if I would stop and ask, is anybody bothered by the mushal to the nimshal? The mushal, the parable to the nimshal, the actual application. When I read the problem in your classic sefer, I was astounded. Why did I never think about that? Clearly something between the mushal and the nimshal doesn't seem to match up. You're right. In the mushal, in our story, a human king cannot possibly be in two locations at the same time. So he says to his new son-in-law, wherever you live, could you make a separate bedroom for me so I can visit? But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have the constraint of being that he can't be in two places at the same time. As the Navi tells us, Meloi Chaloret Kevaydai, Hashem is everywhere. Hashem's glory fills the entire world. You're right, an earthly king could say, I need a guest room so that I can make sure there's a place for me in your home. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere. It's not like the Ribbono Shel Olam could only be in this place, but not in this place. He's over there, but not in the bedroom. The glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the entire world. So how could that now relate to our understanding of the Mishkan? Hashem does not need his own room and our house to be close to his Torah. He fills the entire world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So how do you match up the mushal with the nimshal? And again, I know I said a moment ago, but I'll quickly repeat it. When I read the question, I was like, it seems like such an obvious question. I almost wonder if you and the Heichel were bothered by it. The Sefer Pri Chaim tells us a beautiful pshat. We did not learn the mushal correctly. The king who asked for a bedroom in the home of his daughter and son-in-law was not concerned. I need a place to sleep, but I need somewhere to put my head down to rest, because after the arduous journey, I need to take a nap. The king was more concerned with wanting to make sure that his only child, his daughter, would be well taken care of. Every parent wants to know, certainly by the only child, are you happy? He'd be interested in knowing that his daughter is loved and respected and well taken care of, and so therefore he asks for a room to be designated in their home, not, as we said, so he could rest when he comes. Because this way, if the son-in-law knows that his father-in-law, the king, is coming potentially at any moment, because there is the availability of the bedroom, there is a place for the king, my father-in-law, to stay, he's more likely to treat his new wife well at all times. He doesn't know. You know, it might be a surprise visit. I don't know when he's coming. Is he coming tomorrow? Is he coming? I have no idea. How often he's coming, how frequently, I have no idea. And therefore, since the son-in-law does not know when he's coming, and indeed his arrival could be at any moment, he's far more likely to treat the new wife well at all times. So really, the spare bedroom is a way for him to guarantee the best possible treatment of his beloved daughter. And now you could appreciate the Osruli Migdash Rashachanti Besaichem. We're not giving the Rabbi Shloimeh a place to sleep and to rest. He's everywhere. But Hashem gave us his precious Torah. He gave us his unique Torah. He wants us to treat it with love. He wants us to treat it with respect. He wants us to regard the Torah in the most beautiful way. When Hashem says there's a mishkan, the bedroom, so to speak, in which I'm going to reside, and it goes beautifully with the way we open up the shir, that every home, not every house, every home is a mikdash. Every home is a mishkan. Every home is a microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash. That means it's a constant reminder, he's there, he's there, he's there. And that should ensure that Torah is given the respect that it's properly due. What an extraordinary shot from the Pri Chaim, an explanation of how the Moshel and Nimshel add up. Especially in light of, I said a moment ago, how we started the shiur. If we leave here realizing not just the house, but more importantly the home, is a microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash, it's a mishkan, it's a miniature sanctuary, that means the spare bedroom in my home is not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol to rest. It's to remind me he could be there at any minute. He arrives at any minute. He is everywhere. That should give me the impetus to remind me, am I taking care of his only daughter properly? Am I living by the words of the Torah? He gave me his most precious possession. He with a capital H, his daughter. And the one thing the Rebbe Shem wants to make sure is he wants to ensure that it's treated with the proper respect and reverence, and adhere to at all times. And that's the purpose of the mashal. The bedroom is to remind us Hashem is everywhere, and that visit, so to speak, is at any given moment. So how are we doing with our spare bedroom? David HaMelech says in the famous capital that we say, starting El through the Yom Narayim, LeDavid Hashem Eiri V'Yishi. I heard this pshat from my father's atzal countless times. And I know it's well known, but I feel its application to the Pri Chaim is beautiful. David HaMelech has but one request of Hashem, Shifti Beveis Hashem. Yes, it's pointed out that he doesn't actually request only one thing, but he seems to request a few different things. But that's not the topic for tonight's shir. What is of note is that he says, Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. I want to dwell and live in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. And then he ends by saying, Ulevaker beheicholoi, to visit in its heichol. Now, why did he begin by saying shifty, which is a sense of permanency, and end by saying ulevaker bikur, which is a temporary visit? Which does David HaMelech want, shifty or bikur? The permanent and the temporary. So while I know it's a well-known pshat, it's beautiful nonetheless, certainly David HaMelech wants, Shifti Beveis Hashem, Shifti, Shifti, Shifti Beveis Hashem, I want to dwell with permanency, I want it to be ingrained in my DNA, that I dwell in the house of Hashem always, but I want the dwelling to be in the fashion of a bikur, a visit. You know, sometimes when you visit someone or someone's visiting you, it may very well be, certainly if you're visiting somebody, by a temporary visit, we tend to be, at least we hope, on our best behavior. Or if we know that somebody is visiting, we're going to do our utmost to make sure everything looks wonderful and it's in order. There's a certain awe, if you will, some leben, that comes together with a bikur. You are going to make sure that you, as the visitor, are on your finest, best behavior, and you're certainly going to make sure if somebody's coming to visit you, everything's in order. Sometimes, though, when it's with a permanency, it's a shifty, it's long-term, like 80 years long, sometimes we let our guards down and not everything is so ay-ay-ay. David HaMelech says, my end goal is certainly shifty b'beis Hashem, but I hope the 120 years of shifty b'beis Hashem ulevaker b'heicholoi is in the fashion of a visit. In other words, may it be a 120-year-long visit. What a pshat. What a pshat. 120 long years of a shifty, but with the temporary bikur, meaning where we are always on our best behavior, where we appreciate the visitor all of the time. And that's really what's taking place, I believe, an added dimension to the pshat of the Pri Chodesh. A guest room means that that person could be visiting at any moment. Let it be a lifetime of learning Torah, but in the sense of a visit, meaning it's always with the proper reverence, the proper excitement, if you will. Shifty, but in a fashion of a bikur. I'll bring you another raya to this, which perhaps is just so beautiful. Every day when the men put on tefillin, we wrap around the middle finger the tefillin three times, a tefillin shel yad, and we say ve'erastich li le'olam. We say a different few words as we wrap it around the middle finger. Ve'erastich li le'olam essentially means we're asking that erastich, erusin, engaged, if you will, loose translation, ve'erastich li le'olam, that our relationship with Hashem is that we should be engaged le'olam forever. You're not engaged forever. You're engaged for a few months, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months, or whatever it is, a few weeks. And then the point is a life of nesu'in, a life of marriage. So why would we want our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be one of the erastich li le'olam and not one of nesu'in? Are you getting this all down? Because the reality is that although, of course, the end goal is nisuin and marriage and the Ezras Hashem, Abayis Neman v'Yisrael, but there is something unique during the time period of Erusin. Erusin, the time of engagement, is a certain mystique, a certain excitement, a certain tingling reverence, if you will. It's not found by the Nesu'in. Of course, by the Nesu'in, there are added dimensions of the husband and wife coming together and building a Bayis Neman. But the fact remains that during the period of engagement, so to speak, of the Erusin, there's that awe, that reverence, that uniqueness, that excitement, that vivaciousness that's found by the Erusin. We hope that our relationship with the Borei Olam is for 120 years. We hope that we're zeiche both in this world and the next world to nitzchias, to eternity. But we hope for the eternity, the einastich li le'olam, in the fashion of erusin, in the fashion of engagement. In other words, may the excitement, the vivaciousness, the mystique, the reverence, and the newness always permeate our marriage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that a pshat? And I think that's an added dimension to the Pri Chaim that we said. That spare bedroom is to remind us the visit from the Ribbono Shel Olam is at any moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. That visit can happen at any moment. It's our way of telling Hashem, our guest bedroom, our home. Remember earlier we asked the question, is our home one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would feel comfortable? Our guest bedroom is a way of asking and showing Hashem that we hope we're able shifti beveis Hashem ulevaker, but may it always be with the excitement and the anticipation of a new visit. And it's our way of asking Hashem, may our marriage be the unbreakable bond of the erastich li le'olam, with that beautiful feeling that's by the engagement. May that last le'olam forever. And I believe that's the way we read the pasuk V'osu li migdosh v'shachanti b'soichon, that we should talk of b'zoicha, that our home is one, where Hashem not only feels comfortable dwelling, but that the guest bedroom is a reminder to us of proper awe and reverence and respect to Darkei HaTorah. You take a look a little bit later on in the parsha, open up, or I should say turn. If you have your chumash open, Chav Vav Tesvav, Va'asisa es hakroshim la'mishkan ase shitim oindim. If you take a look in the archives, wherever you listen to previous shiur and parshas Truma Tetzave, go back to the last few years, you'll see that I brought down from my father's atzal some epic, timeless pshatim on Ate Shitim Oindim, from the greatest pshatim ever. I'm not going to get into it now, but if you want to go to earlier, last year and the year before, you'll be able to hear on the different places and sites beautiful pshatim on it. Once again, in Avnei Kodesh Chelek Beis, I saw the Kroshim, as the Pasuk tells us, they were Ate Shitim Oimdim. They were made out of the special wood known as Shitim wood. We know Chazal tell us that's the cedar tree, a mighty strong tree. There is a medrash on this Pasuk that tells us that the world was not worthy to use these cedar trees. And the reason they were created was solely for the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. A very interesting medrash, I would say. I hope you saw the pasuk inside. The Atzei Shitim were made from cedar tree, and the cedar tree were not worthy of being created. The world was not worthy of them, I should say, but it was made specifically for the Mikdash and the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, why was the world unworthy of cedar? And perhaps far more perplexing, we should be flummoxed. If cedar trees and wood wasn't fit for the world, then why were they used in the construction of the Mishkan and the Mikdash? Now that second question should really bother you. If there's something seemingly wrong with them, that the world is not worthy of them, then why the exception that they're used for the Mishkan and the Mikdash? There it's okay? So the Sefer Menachem Tzion suggests a way to read this medrash. I was so taken by this pshat. Meirai v'raboisai, I was so taken by this pshat. It's such a yesod of how to live life. The Menachem Tzion tells us there's a very interesting way to read the medrash that says that really the world was not worthy for cedar except the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. There's a famous Gemara in Tainus Daf Chaf that tells us how a person should behave. He should always be as soft as a reed. Be as soft as a reed. A reed is bendable. A reed is something that's able to, so to speak, move and bend in the wind. Don't, says the Gemara in Tainus, be as rigid as cedar. Now I'll explain to you the Gemara. Of course, that means that, as we said a moment ago, a reed is able to bend with the wind. The cedar tree, however, is straight, uncompromising, if you will. I thought the best way to explain this Gemara in Tainus Daf Chaf is with a pshat from my father, Rav Mordechai Shapira Zatzal, that while it is true, I have said it countless times, people have told me it literally remains one of the most spectacular pshatim, really, in any relationship 101. And my father would explain the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, "Oimdim tefufim mishtachavim revachim." One of the miracles in the Beis HaMikdash was, oimdim, when we stood next to each other, tefufim, it was extremely crowded and cramped. Mishtachavim, when we bent, revachim, there was ample room. Why is that an extraordinary miracle? Because if it's crowded when you stand, and when you bend, it should be far more crowded and cramped, and yet the miracle is that it wasn't. So my father explained these words homiletically in relationships, certainly with your spouse, but really in any relationship. Oimdim! If you're going to stand your ground with rigidity, you're going to be standing, oindim, I'm right, rigid, never willing to capitulate to fufim. You'll be miserable. Mishtachavim, if you're willing to bend, to be flexible, to recognize, acknowledge, validate, and encourage, revachim. It will bring the relationship revach and a beautiful, beautiful relationship. What a pshat. So I'm right, good. Be oimdim, be right, be rigid, uncompromising. To fufim, you'll be miserable. Mishtachavim, when you're willing to bend, I didn't realize that's what you meant. I certainly hear your point of view. Thank you for sharing it with me. When you're willing to be mishtachavim, then revochim, it brings ample room to the relationship. As I told you, it's 101 in any relationship. That's what the Gemara means. Be soft as reed and not as rigid as a cedar. You have to make sure that that's the way we are, really, in all relationships. However, the Medrash then says that the world would not be worthy of using cedar tree. Because according to the pshat that we just said, cedar means you stand tall, uncompromising, unyielding, with rigidity. Certainly we're giving it over with a negative connotation. And therefore that quality of unyielding stubbornness really would never have been brought into the world. And that's what it means. The world wasn't worthy to use these cedar trees. That quality, that trait that cedar represents is really not. There's no place for it, so to speak, in this world. But there's one exception. Listen to me well, Rabbi Sai. There's one exception. The Medrash says that the cedar that should not have been created or wasn't worthy of being created was created only for the Mishkan and the Mikdash. That means this is the exception to the rule. The Mishkan and the Mikdash, of course, represents matters of spirituality, adherence to the Torah, matters of Kedusha. In these areas, you must be like a cedar. You must be rigid and inflexible. In other words, no, we don't compromise on our principles. In these matters of Kedusha, these matters of Mikdash and Mishkan, in these matters of learning Torah, matters of religion, there is no room for giving in and compromise. It cannot be said strongly enough. Such a bomb of a pshat. In relationships, be mishtachavim, be soft as a reed, compromise, yielding in the sense that you validate and acknowledge the other. But when it comes to your religion, I believe if I'm quoting correctly, I once heard that the great Rav Moshe Sherezatzal said, do not make principles of compromise, because you'll end up compromising your principles. When it comes to matters of religion, matters of Mishkan and Mikdash, matters of Kedusha, there were supposed to be like the cedar. That's why the exception to the cedar was made there. The rigidity and not being compromised means that I will stay true and I will stay strong to my Messiah and to the Torah. You know that Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelet, "Vachol zeman va'eis." There's a time and place for everything, and he goes through, I believe, 28 or so itim. To be born, to die, to rejoice, and to be sad, etc. And then Shlomo HaMelech says, "Eis shalom and eis milchama." There's a time for peace, and there is a time for war. In other words, sometimes you have to fight on behalf of the Torah. Like, we could spend countless examples. If you see Cholila Rachmana Litzlan, that the Torah is under attack, or a concept or a mitzvah or whatever it might be is under attack, no, that's not the time to say, well, I'm a man of peace, I'm soft and pliable and flexible like a reed. That is terribly misplaced. That's the time. What does Shlomo HaMelech mean? Eish milchoma. There are times that a person has to fight. A person has to realize this is Kedusha that's at stake. This is the Mishkan and Mikdash that's at stake. This is the purity of Torah that's at stake. And for that, the Atzei Shittim were created. I don't know if you mentioned it in the Sefer, but I just noticed that it says, did you mean this, Rabbi Buchsman? It says by Atzei Shittim, Atzei Shittim Oimdim. Oimdim, that's taka where you have to be oimed and stand uncompromisingly with rigidity. I don't know if you meant it. I don't know if the Sefer meant it, but I certainly think you could say it. Atzei Shittim. When it comes to Atzei Shittim, which were made from the cedar, the only exception of when you should be rigid, what did we say? Oimdim, oimdim, oimdim. There you should stand. You should be uncompromising. You should be rigid. That's the only way to keep to the pure Torah values. It is a fabulous, fabulous line and duality that we must live in relationships. Bein adam l'chaveiro, we must be soft like a reed. But when it comes to the Torah, to the Kedusha, to the Mishkan, to the Mikdash, don't start chalila compromising your principles and watering down your values. Well, no, this is not what it means. And this is not applicable, and that's not applicable, etc. Chalila, chalila. Chalila, that's not the way we are. I know that it's funny that, I shouldn't say funny, but I realize that by ending the shiur with the following story, surely many are thinking, you've heard the story countless times, and it is true, I cannot even count how many hundreds of times, if not thousands, I've said it. But what can I tell you? It's something that to us in the family is personal, happened with my father's atzal, and it's something that I believe best epitomizes the pshat we just said. When there's room for this and room for that. And so I'm sure you already have guessed the story that I'm referring to. My father's atzal was the Rav in Miami Beach in Beth Israel. And a bit across the street, there was a temple, Beth Shalom. The leader was, I'm sure you remember the name, Leon Kronish. A leader of the Reform Temple. And at one point towards the end of his life, he needed people to donate blood. And there was a time that was set for people to come to the hospital to donate blood. And my father, Zatzal, was one of the first to donate blood, to be there, to try to give blood. And afterwards, he went to the room to either let Leon Kronish know that he was there or to visit him. And when he walked in the room, you could imagine Leon Kronish's face. You're coming to visit me? What are you doing here? You came to give blood for me? In terms of who they were and what they represented, mamish, polar opposites. He didn't know what to do with himself. Then my father walked in, and my father right away noticed the extreme surprise on Leon Kronish's face. How could I be here to give blood for you? So my father looked at him. He said, I don't understand what you're perplexed about. Leon, I don't understand what you don't understand. And he said the famous line, when it comes to matters of Torah, matters of Mishkan and Mikdash, if you will, matters of ideology, I won't budge an iota. I believe his exact expression was, I'll fight you tooth and nail. I won't budge an iota. I'm not going to budge anything. But when it comes to donating blood, you're my brother. What is there not to understand? That maisa is literally this pshat. When it comes to the matters of ideology and matters of yahadus, you can't budge. I'll talk a fight you tooth and nail. Eish milchama. But donating blood for you? You're my brother. That's what it means that sometimes the person has to be atzei shittim, oimdim, oimdim, oimdim when it comes to matters of Mishkan and Mikdash. And when it comes to matters of our relationships, our bein adam l'chaveiro,
Arva Osui Mikdash Vashachanti Besaicham, building that home that Hashem feels comfortable in, it's not only a home that's uncompromising on the Torah values, but it's simultaneously a home that has the love, the warmth, the awe, the reverence and respect of Ulavakir Behechaloi, of Erastikli Liyalam, of being soft as a reed, Mishtachavim Revachim. Mayra Virabais, I hope that our homes, our home should always be one that the Rebbeinu Shlaila feels comfortable coming, and we understand as a visit. We always have to be ready with that awe and that reverence. I hope we understand clearly our mandate of the reed and the cedar tree. And may we taka bizaycha as we began the shir, that our home is the microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem says, v'shachanti b'saycham, I feel comfortable in your home. And in that schus will be zaycha to the ultimate home, the Bayis Shlishi, b'mheira b'yameinu, amen.